Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 28 to 35 of Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 35. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept and they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. And then they accompanied him to the ship." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with us, that the Holy Spirit, who was with the great Apostle Paul in all his travels in those very early days all around the Mediterranean as he preached the gospel, that same Holy Spirit will be with us, and you will help us to understand how important your word is and how important it is to pay attention to it and to believe it, love it and live it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we come to Acts chapter 20, where I read from, the Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to the leaders of one of the churches in one of the big cities which he had established. The Apostle Paul was the apostle, the man that God said will be an apostle. And now the Apostle Paul, he's called an apostle because God gave him that title. And the word apostle means the one who is sent. That's what the Greek word means. And the Apostle Paul is the one who was sent by God to take the gospel away from the Jews and to the Greeks, to the rest of the world, in other words. So not only Jewish people can become Christians, but everybody can become a Christian. And the person that God chose to take that message out into the world was this man called Paul. He used to be called Saul. Then he got converted and his name was changed to Paul. Saul was the Jewish version of his name, and Paul was the Greek version of his name. Both versions mean short. So we assume that he was a short man. We don't know for sure, but we think that's what he was. He was a very brilliant person. He was a true academic and a true scholar. And he is the great Apostle Paul. And now he's speaking to the leaders of the church in the city called Ephesus. He's got them aside and he's saying to them, "I'm leaving now. I'm going to leave Ephesus," which is in the middle of Greece, the area which we know today as Turkey and that general area. "And I'm moving away and I'm going eastwards back to Jerusalem. I'm going to see the elders there, then I'm going to come back your way again, and I'm going to go to Rome." And later on, we find out that he had ideas of going to Spain, and he wanted to even go to England. And that's what most of the scholars believe. But Paul's aim was to take the gospel as far as he could. And so he was leaving them, and they would never see his face again. And he's speaking to them. And as he's doing so, he's telling them certain things that they need to watch out for and be careful for, especially in the leadership of the churches. And I say this again to all of you and to myself, to everybody, that we need to remember that being a leader of a congregation is a very, very great and holy privilege. And for anybody to play the fool with that is to risk the wrath of God. And so you've got to be careful about the people you hear, you listen to, and you've got to ask God to give you discernment, to give you wisdom, so you can say something, a little voice in your head says, what that man is saying is wrong. I'm not going to listen to him. Or it's right, one of the two. But you've got to have that within you. Okay, so what does Paul say now in these verses? And I'm going to go through them quite quickly. Verse 28, look what Paul says. He's talking to these people and he says in verse 28, these are leaders. These are the leaders of the church in Ephesus. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, I'm reading from the NIV. If you've got a different version of the Bible, it may use slightly different words, but instead of keep watch, it may say pay careful attention or something like that. But it all means the same thing. Pay very careful attention to yourself, is what Paul is saying to the leaders. Keep watch over yourselves. You make sure that you are worthy of being a leader in the family of God. Don't say that you're leaders in the family of God when you are messing around, when you are stealing money or engaging in fraud or being immoral or any of these things. You pay careful attention to yourself. The devil is going to come after you if you're a true leader in the church of God. So don't listen to those people who are hypocritical and you know about it. Don't listen to them at all. So first of all, he says, pay careful attention to yourself. That's what he says in verse 28. And every day that we get up in the mornings, we should say, Lord, help me today to walk right. Help me to be right. Help me to be the person that I ought to be today. Not the person that I say I am, or the person I think I am, but the person I really should be. Help me to be like that. And especially if we have any position in the church. Maybe you're not a pastor, but you may hold some other position in the church. And so Paul says to all leaders, whatever you do, first of all, watch over yourself. Then he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You know, if I have to stand up in a church and preach like we did for many years before I retired, when I looked over the sea of faces, sometimes I used to stand up on a Sunday morning and look over a sea of 2,000 faces sitting there in front of me, and that's the second service of the day. I say to myself, isn't that wonderful? The Lord is bringing so many people to church. Yes, it is wonderful. But that's not the most important thing. The thing is, Frank Retief, are you keeping watch over yourself? Should you be the one speaking to them? Have you kept watch over yourself? And have you kept watch over them? Have you arranged the church in such a way that the people in this church, all of them, the weak ones and the strong ones, can be helped and looked after in whatever way they need? Sometimes in any church, you get weak people who need help and you get strong people. You get people sometimes who have got nothing and people who've got lots. And you get people who don't understand anything and people understand a lot more. And we've got to arrange the church in such a way that we take care of the whole flock of God. And remember that we are there because the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. We've got to remember that. Who's put you in charge here? Do you think, in my case, in our denomination, the way it worked was the real bishops, the older men of the denomination, and the elders, the old people of the councils and the colleges who we studied, they got together and they said, well, we're going to make Frank Retief or whoever it is a bishop in the church. Well, they may do that, but that's not important. It's not important that they should decide that I should be a bishop or anyone should be a bishop. Remember, who makes you a bishop? It's the Holy Spirit who sets you aside to make you a minister or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a bishop or whatever you may be. It doesn't matter what human beings call us. Has the Holy Spirit put you there? And if the Holy Spirit has put you there, have you prepared your Sunday school lesson properly? Have you prayed for your children? Have you visited the sick ones? Have you looked after the sad ones? Have you provided the pencils that the little ones have who don't have them when they go to school? Have you looked after them and cared for them? So to be a pastor is a very important, great job before God. It is a profound job before God, because you are acting in God's place, in place of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are acting in His place, loving the people for Him. He is the final, the great pastor, the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus said that, "I am the shepherd of the sheep. I will lay down my life for the sheep," because He's the shepherd. And so we are just acting in His place, but are we acting like Him? That's the question, okay? So that's what Paul tells the leaders of the church. The next thing he says in verse 29, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." So be on your guard. So what Paul says is that you've got to remember that there are enemies of the gospel out there. And don't only think that the enemies of the gospel are out there. The enemies of the gospel are sometimes sitting in your very pews. You can't see them because they're singing the hymns just like you sing them. They raise their hands like you raise them. They sing and shout like you do. And you can't see them, but God can see their hearts. And they are waiting for their time. They're the enemies that the devil has placed sometimes in your church. And so Paul says, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." You all know that sometimes, you know that in those ancient days, there were many shepherds. We, Beulah and I, have seen them ourselves on the rocky hillsides in Palestine. And they've got their little flocks of sheep and goats, and they put them in their little corrals at night, little made of thorn bushes. And in those days, in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, animals that we don't associate with that part of the world today were still roaming around, like lions would still be there. Samson killed a lion there in that area. And certainly there were wolves and various other animals that would try to kill the flock and try and get into that little corral if they could. And so Paul says, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come." And remember, sometimes the wolves dress themselves like sheep. Remember that? By singing the hymns and doing all the right things, they look like they are, you know, really part of the flock. But they're there to cause trouble in the church. And remember that, "I know they will come. And they will not spare the flock." They don't love the flock. They love themselves. They want the position. They want whatever they can get out of this congregation. And so even from your own number, even from the people that you think are your own believers that come to your prayer meetings and do the things that you do, even amongst your own number, men will arise and they will distort the truth. They'll make the truth something that it doesn't mean. They will teach something from the Bible and tell you it means something when it doesn't mean what they say it means. They will distort the truth in order to do what? To draw away the disciples. So what have you got? You've got church splits. And here's the Apostle Paul, years ago, 2,000 years ago almost, telling us about the fact that churches will split because people want to draw away disciples after them. So we've got to remember that the enemies of the gospel are there. And he says, "Be on your guard. And remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day for years." So let's remember that we've got to be on our guard, and we've got to be careful about ourselves and about the people to teach us and about the jobs that we are given, that we do it properly and we are on our guard. In the third place, are constantly alert. So be on your guard, or if you've got another Bible, it may say be alert. in the version that I use, it says be alert, and here it says be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. So be alert, be awake, be conscious of what's going on in your church, so that you can call attention to anything that is wrong. And he says, and remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. For 3 years I was here with you, and I never stopped warning you. I always told you. People say, oh, you know, the Christian message is so negative, it's full of warnings and things like that. Right. Because hell is a very terrible place to land up in. So most of the Christian message is warning us not to walk the wrong way, not to go through the wide gate, but to go through the narrow gate, and to listen to the word of God and obey the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says that we have got to be alert, or we've got to be on our guard. And remember that for those 3 long years, he never stopped warning and teaching and warning and teaching and warning and teaching. And he did it, furthermore, with tears. Why does he add that? Because what he's saying is, I did it with all my heart. I did it with all the love in my heart. I did it with integrity. I did it with intensity. I did it because I truly believe these truths. And so for 3 years, I wept over you. That's what he's saying. And so church leaders and church and people who are responsible for churches should be like that. They shouldn't be jumping up and down asking for your money. They should be standing there preaching it to you with tears in their eyes. Not cracking the latest joke to make you laugh, but rather weeping with you, saying, please, dear people, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's live for him and be real for him. And then the fourth thing is that Paul tells us that we've got to pay special attention to the word of God's grace in verse 32. This is what he says. He says, now I'm reading from the NIV version because you may have a different one. He says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Who are the people who get the inheritance one day? And what is this inheritance? The inheritance is for the people who are sanctified, that is, set apart. That is, those who have come to the Lord Jesus and set apart from the world that is going on its merry way to hell. And these are the people who are going to be part of the great glorious inheritance. What is this inheritance? It's a new world. There's going to be a new world, dear friends. Heaven is not going to be up there in the skies one day. Heaven is going to be here. A new world. Hermanus will still be here, but in a new way. And we don't know how that's all going to work out. But it's going to be a new world. And we'll be part of that wonderful inheritance, free of all things that can make us sad. And those are the people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, says the Apostle Paul, you have got to be built up so that you can prove that you are part of that group of people. And how are you built up? You are built up by the word of God's grace. What is the word of God's grace? Well, where is God's grace seen more than anywhere else?
The cross.
On the cross, exactly. The grace of God is seen on the cross in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our job is to make sure that we learn whatever we can about God's grace and about the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And where do we learn about Jesus? We learn about Jesus where? In the Bible. So therefore, when the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the men's groups leader or the ladies' group leaders or whoever it is gets up to speak, he must be able to say to you, open your Bibles. What I've got to say to you comes from the Bible. And if it doesn't come from the Bible, it may excite you, it may make you laugh, you may have a good time, but it will not build you up and make you strong for those times when you really need that inner strength that comes because you belong to the Lord Jesus. And so we've got to pay great attention to God's word, and true teachers will always build you up with the word of God. And then the Apostle Paul says, in verses 34 and 35, he says this: "You yourselves know that these hands of mine supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And what Paul was saying is this: as I leave you, you remember that you cannot do the work of God unless you're willing to work hard. You've got to work hard if you do God's work. Why is that? Because you're working with people, and people disappoint you, or they let you down, or they don't keep appointments, or they don't do what you tell them to do, or you put a lot of time into them and they go somewhere else, to some other pastor somewhere, where it's not so hard. But to be a Christian is a hard thing to do. And Paul says, when I was with you, I didn't ask you for a cent, because he was a professional tent maker. And so he worked with his own hands. He made tents and he sold tents, and he was able to keep himself and the people who were with him. He supported them all as a group who were planting this church in the city of Ephesus. He says, and I worked hard, and I didn't ask you for anything. I worked hard, and you have got to work hard if you're going to be a pastor of the people of God. And remember that if you are going to work hard and be pastors, you've got to remember the weak. Remember those in your congregation who can't work. Remember those who are sick, or those who are injured, or those who have been wronged in some way. Remember the widows. Remember those who have lost their husbands. You know, it was hard for women to be a widow or to be alone in those days, because women were not prized. They were not honored the way they are today. I know that in many cases today, women are still terribly abused. But in those days, there were no laws that were written down for women except in the laws of Israel. But no other country had laws that protected women. And so Paul says, remember the weak, and remember those who can't look after themselves. There's a young widow there. Her husband got killed. He was doing a building job for somebody last week, and the wall fell down on him, and he got killed. Now, what's she going to do with her two children? Who's going to help her? And how's she going to feed them? Because he only gets paid daily, as they did in those days. Every day they got their salary and took it home. Who's going to help them? And Paul says, you're going to help them. You are the church. You must help them. Look after the weak. And remember this: the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, do you know that that's interesting? Because nowhere in the New Testament do we read that Jesus actually said that. But Paul is talking about the teachings, the combined teachings of Jesus about giving and receiving and about poverty. And there's long lists of them. And what he's doing is summarizing it all and saying, this is what Jesus was actually saying. He was saying that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So after you've worked hard and after you've cared for everybody, only then do you look after yourself. Care for those who cannot care for themselves. Now, do you still want to be a pastor? You still want to be a bishop, an archbishop? You still want to be a doctor so-and-so? Do you still want to be all that important? Do you still want to be a Sunday school teacher? Do you still want to be a leader in the church? Then remember, it's more than the title. It's more than just the image. It means hard work. It means that you're the real thing. You are representing the Lord Jesus in the church. And then in those last couple of verses, we have this action of Paul leaving them, when he says in verse 36, when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. And then they accompanied him to the ship. And just two or three quick things I want to tell you. How wonderful it is to see how this congregation loved their pastor. They loved Paul. Although he told them the truth, And he never withheld anything from them. He loved them and they loved him. And it grieved them that he said, you'll never see me again. I'm leaving you now, and I know that I'm headed for Jerusalem, where I'll get into trouble with the authorities. And I'm hoping to come back this way again. But I know one thing, I will never see your face again. And then they wept, it says. They were grieved. They embraced him and they kissed him and they all wept. And this was a scene that was filled with emotion and filled with affection, because these were the people who had benefited from the teaching of this great apostle, who had taught them about the greatest of all people, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and what his death on the cross meant for them. So they were part of the group going to heaven, and they could never stop thanking the man who brought the message to them. Now that is the way teachers should behave, and that is the way congregations should behave, and that is the way people who are involved in the church should behave. So let's remember that in Acts chapter 20, there is this section with warnings to all church leaders. And let's read it often and say, Lord, if you make me a church leader, make me like this for your glory. Now I'm going to stop there and I'm going to pray. And Father, we know that when we hear these things, we think to ourselves, we can never be like that. This standard is too high for us. But we can be, because you've called people throughout all the ages to serve churches and plant churches and build churches. And we thank you that you're still doing it to this very day and age. And we pray that you will bless all of us here tonight. We're all part of a church fellowship somewhere, many of our own little church here in Amanus. We pray that we may be true and humble and sincere servants and do what we can with all sincerity and integrity. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the name of the Lord Jesus will be uplifted and people will be built up by the word of his grace because of us and our own commitment to him. Now please send us away with your blessing. We know that we've got our own things that we've got to worry about, our jobs and our people and getting food and money for tomorrow and rental that we've got to pay and all these things. And we pray that you help us by giving us your peace in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.